it's one about the engagement, but also being relatable. And I think that's a massive thing that I think a lot of people forget when they're actually doing social media. It was actually my partner, my fiance, that told me to record one day. Fuck, I was making hair content, but not embracing my condition and stuff, which obviously is Tourette's. I'm known as the Tourette's barber.
Sam Rascals drives a f***ing Porsche. Yeah. He cuts hair. That's just a possibility. If I lean into who I am the most, I can have a Porsche one day, if that's what I want.
We are just being ourselves, and that is doing well. Young children with skin fades is fucking weird. Let them have long hair. Let them be a kid.
It's so true.
Oh, Timmy likes the hard part line. So Timmy's just his pants. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Hi, welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. I'm Anthony Laban. And we'll be talking to various people in the industry who've made it and their journey and how they got here. Talking honest, cutting through the crap and making sure your story and their story is heard to help your business and hopefully mine. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi there, I'm Anthony Laban. This is the Noble Barber Cod Podcast. We are here at the Great British Barber Bash. Here at the Penny Social, and I have Jack Ardies of Ardies.
Afternoon.
Welcome, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having me.
We have Josh, Tourette's barber.
Fuck off.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And really, I've been wanting to have this conversation a bit with you. I've had it already, but I wanted to talk to you, and together it's perfect. But you both kind of traversed the kind of social media in a really honest and really open way. You haven't done it with the black glove. You haven't done it with the headlamp. You've done it not showing your burst fade and your shullet. You've done it by being you. And that level of honesty has been paid back in kind of boatloads to both of you. How have you found this rise into it all?
Well, I think it's a bit wild, really. I mean, yeah, between me and Jack, like, you know, we have very different styles, but I think actually ultimately it's one about the engagement, but also being relatable. And I think that's a massive thing that I think a lot of people forget when they're actually doing social media. Yeah, I love what I do, but it was actually my partner, my fiance, that told me to record one day. Fuck! And because I don't think I would have done it. I was making hair content, but not embracing my condition and stuff, which obviously is Tourette's. I'm known as the Tourette's barber. But I just think it's got to be organic. I mean, I don't know if you feel like the same way. I wasn't doing it to intentionally blow up or try and go viral or anything like that. I just wanted to show who I was and what I'm doing. And then for me, it went really crazy and I've met some amazing people and we're here now, you know?
Yeah. Well, in my case, it wasn't the first. This time around, this isn't the first time I've went viral.
Yeah.
And had a quite a successful TikTok page, but it never really felt like it completely organic. There was a lot of barriers I put up in between the content I was putting out. And I was thinking, fuck, what if some people like find out I'm not like that, or like, yeah, I was trying to be somebody else, or trying to be like
really
everyone
feel
else.
That's a big thing. Yeah. And I think so, especially for men.
Yeah.
When it comes to social media.
And it took me a lot of work and a lot of looking in the mirror to like recognize my unique ability and my power that I have that nobody else does, and lean more into that and not worry so much about how it comes across, because I'm doing what I love. And I'm sharing things that I love that I hope that somebody's going to pick up and receive and love as well.
Sure.
So it's like, rather than pretend to be like everybody else, I'm getting massive rewards from being myself by just showing the good time I have. A point I make quite a lot is the barbershop is the most incredible place in the world. Like the atmosphere, the fun you can have, the laughs you have. So like, I'm going to try and create that for us online and show the world that actually barbering is really talented in terms of how the haircut looks, but also there's like a legend behind every chair who is like hosting an environment for that person.
Definitely.
To be, and that's what I love. I want to show, imagine if everybody expressed about their barbershop, you'd start lining people up with shops, so you wouldn't have to look so hard for this. Some people don't like getting their haircut, and I find that mental, because it's such a beautiful thing to have. You just, if the right barber's there, I believe
I think you're right as saying as well. It's like, you're, especially with your content, like you're showing behind the gown. Like you're showing it like, we cut hair and we're busy all day, whatever. But actually there's, like you say, like the fun side, but the dicking around as well and all that. And that's what I like to see with the content that I see as well. I mean, I know what I do is a bit more like conversational, but actually it isn't always about the fucking haircut.
Yeah,
and I'm a big believer in actually it is about the atmosphere and about making sure that customer comes back and making sure that I want them to come back regardless whether I'd like to say I don't do bad haircuts, but that isn't the only reason they're coming back, for the good haircut. Yeah. They're coming back for the atmosphere, for the genuine relationship you build with people.
And my point is, you see that with your content. You know, you see that that room is just full with energy.
Yeah.
And that's how it comes across. And the only reason I see that is because you've leaned into who you are, what makes you special.
And vice versa, we're doing the same thing.
And in the way of our kiss, we're going to kiss.
Yeah, push him out of the way, we'll kiss. But that's what it's about. I mean, for me, when it comes to like doing shows like this, and I was really surprised by what my social media had done, but actually to be accepted within the barbering community. I really thought I was going to be more of a laughing stock, or a bit more of a joke, or a bit more of a fad. But the fact I've been really accepted and like celebrated within the barbering community, that's really touched me, because I didn't think anyone was going to give a shit what I got up to. But then the fact I'm showing who I am and what we do, I think, you know, just through a lens, and if people see you on their little screens that we've all got in our pocket, I think says it all.
Yeah. It's interesting, your point about being accepted, because I think when you see yourself as different to the community, then it can feel like you have to become accepted. Whereas actually what you found through evidence is being yourself, if you're not different from anyone else. The space exists whether you contribute or not. And so like adding to it, it has been the real difference maker rather than being accepted.
But that's the interesting, that's a great phrase, that kind of entering into it and being you as you.
Yeah.
Because I think there is, when we started doing this, it was like kind of anti-Instagram, because everyone seemed to be doing this highly polished finish.
Yeah.
Although I'm not saying that our podcast isn't highly polished.
No.
But you're just missing out the fact that, you know, we're all a bit odd, we're all a bit weird. And everyone is choosing to show their most perfect self on social media.
I think what they want to see, though, really, I think people don't realise what they want to see until they see it. Yeah. But I think it's being genuine. That's what they want to see. And I don't think everyone thinks, like, you know, say with both our content, I don't think anyone necessarily says, like, oh, I'm just like him. But actually, it's
more relatable.
It's relatable. Like, oh, I can see elements of myself in him. And I think that's the whole point. And I mean, I work a lot with children, right? Which I know a lot of people do, but I don't think it's something that we overly advertise, right? Okay, yeah, there might be the really polished pictures of like kids with skin fades, which, can I be brutally honest? Young children with skin fades is fucking weird. Let them have long hair, let them be a kid. But, do you know what I mean? You fucking nonce. But
it's so true.
But do you know what I mean? Like, if a 3-year-old sitting in my chair and the mum says to me, I want to give him a skin fade, I say, well, do you know what? You can fuck off.
Oh, Timmy likes the hard part line. So Timmy's just shit his pants. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
Timmy just wants his lollipop and to get out of my fucking chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But that's what I wanted to. I wanted to show that with the kids, because I get quite a kick out of cutting kids' hair, because I think they're so pure and chill, and they don't really give a shit. And for me, with my Tourette's, like, that was a real worry, because obviously dealing with children and saying really quite like, you know, explicit language, and it can be quite foul and sometimes highly inappropriate. I just wanted to show that actually the kids don't really care.
And also, you're giving a young kid such good ammo to go into school and share
100%.
A brand new swear word. Do you remember that feeling of going into school and going, I'm going to call someone a tosser today?
Exactly.
No one's been called that before.
Someone come at me. That's what you want.
I love it.
But there must have been a point. I mean, you said it was your other half. There must be a moment personally that you kind of go, yeah, that's not me. I'm going to be me. You know, that's a high board to come off in a pool where everyone's wanting to be shiny and J-Lo, that you guys are like, well, I ain't J-Lo, so I'm going to do this. That must have been quite a scary first week or so of posting.
Well, I don't know if you'd also agree. I think sometimes you just got to keep pushing what you believe in. Because I'm assuming you've also felt this. I've posted before and I've got fuck all views. But you really have to push past that. And I try not to worry about the numbers at all. But you can't help it not affect you. So, I mean, I almost want to hear your reaction to that, because
I've got something I'd like to say. Like, if you got to take a look inwards, right? And then if you go from the, I'm not saying this is right, this is just what's really helped me. If you go from the belief that you are whole and complete, you know, you are the same as J-Lo, you know, a human being. So there's no difference between them.
She still has to put her slap on in the morning. Do you
exactly
know what I mean?
And I don't put that much slap on anymore.
No,
glad you brought it up.
You don't need it.
But like, if you go off the point that you're whole and complete, and it puts you on a level playing field with everyone else because we're not separate. Yeah. We're all the same. So you then put yourself in a really strong position to then express what you want to do. It's not easy to find that out, and that takes a lot of inner work, I think.
And putting yourself out there.
But it's so worth it. Like, a good example, right? We all cut hair, or like to generalize this room, everyone in here cuts hair. And there's like a really good example I use of someone in the shop is Sam Rascals drives a fucking Porsche.
Yeah.
He cuts hair. So like that is rather than looking at that as separate, that's just a possibility that like if I lean into who I am the most, I could have a Porsche one day if that's what I want.
That's the plan. Yeah, yeah.
It's all about what you want though, isn't it?
Yeah, you pick what you want.
I mean, don't worry, like using Sam Rascals because I think he's a great barber and he's a good-looking bastard. but, you know, I think what he does is he is that depiction of what, like, a very successful, good-looking, great fucking hair.
But he's leaning into that. Imagine if he had it.
He has got that, right?
Yeah.
But we are good-looking bastards.
One of the best-looking hair.
100%, without a doubt. And he hasn't got hair. I have got hair, but it's shit.
Oh, well done.
But that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to kind of really push it home that we are just being ourselves, and that is doing well.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
And by the way, I still get scared about being myself. I still have doubts. I still have those thoughts still come up. So I'm not trying to stop myself from thinking that. It's about creating new thoughts.
Through that bit where you've done something, you look at it and you think, and you have to kind of push yourself to send it out still? Do you still kind of go, I do look a bit of a twat. No, I'm fuck it and send it out.
I post it and then I can't really look at it after that. Because I'm lucky that my missus actually kind of half runs my social media, pretty much. No, she runs my social media. She does all the editing, but I can't really look at myself too much after that. I need to give it a couple of days until I maybe rewatch it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel the same.
I love it. I show everyone before I've posted it, after I post it. Okay. I'm like, what do you think of this? Yeah. It's because I'm posting what I want. So the numbers are great and it makes you feel nice. But I know that external praise isn't changing me and my relationship to me.
But interestingly, both of you you're educating. But not in the way that Instagram or social media is inundated with education.
Yeah.
You really are educating barbers about being human beings and being confident about being human beings and sending home that message via your work. But both of you have then gone on to really help other people. I know that, you know, both of you do get lots of messaging from people who want you to help them. Has that been
100%? I mean, I think actually sometimes that can be overwhelming, but I think it's only overwhelming because I can't really believe that anyone actually wants to hear what the fuck I've got to say. But I think what we both do, and in different ways, is actually just like we just kind of regurgitating it every time. But like, we are just trying to be authentic, and I think people do see that we are, and they see their self in it.
When I get a message, you get lots of people just will shout out a random message. So my comeback to that is, if you're serious about discussing these goals, we should jump on a call.
Yeah.
And then that's how I will decide. Firstly, I want to get to know the person I'm trying to help, trying to get a bit of background, understand what they're doing. And then also I want to see if it's something, after hearing that story, is it something I can genuinely help them with? And is it going to be worth my time as much as it would be them? So it's rather than just like spouting out advice, just giving
but
it willy-nilly.
The fact you want to give your time just says that so much about you. And I think that means everything to someone because, I mean, again, we've both built up quite a big following. Like on my TikTok, sometimes I get overwhelmed of how many people must see my face.
But when I
do get a lovely message, and obviously like my social media kind of crosses off within, like, obviously I'm big in the barbering world, but actually within the Tourette's community for me, I get quite overwhelmed and actually sometimes emotional with who messages me. And a lot of it is maybe kids or parents and that kind of thing. And again, like, actually made me think about when you said that, Jack, like there's messages I get and I feel like I can't just respond to this. I need to speak to this person. Yeah. And I've done that a good couple of times, many, many times. And for me, if I can help, whether it be a full grown man or a young lad or whatever, and a young girl, it doesn't matter who they are. If they want to just listen to me talk and I hear their story and they can hear mine, if that helps them, that's the whole point of what we're doing, I think.
Yeah. But that's when it has some real power. Yeah. And I think that gets overlooked for the sheen, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's social media.
Yeah.
It's very overexposing, but also, and I think now the way the algorithms work and doom scrolling and all that, I think we all do it, whether we like to admit it or not. We all
scroll
through. See, I love like donkeys and shit like that. I love horses. I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
God, I didn't have the breath for that. But I think we all don't realise what we want to see until we see it.
Sure.
And then, you know, I don't think anyone would have necessarily said, do you know what? I want to see a bald barber.
Who brings his barbershop.
Exactly. Yeah. But once you see it, you're like, this is the shit I need in my life. And the same with me. No one realised they wanted to see a twitchy bastard cutting hair with a kid who doesn't give a shit. Like,
and if you hadn't have done that, or if I hadn't done that, no one would fucking care or know. Do you know what I mean? So,
but I don't think anyone's done what we've done.
No.
And also, they can all do other great things as well.
Yeah.
There's like unlimited resource for creation. So just tap into what you know you're good at, because everyone's good at something.
Yeah.
And you can make that relatable. And if you're trying to grow a business or a brand,
yeah,
you lean into the into your strengths. I'm not a hair educator. I'm not trying to be Josh LaMonica. Mm. I don't do Afro-Caribbean hair. I'm not side of cut, so I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just like, I know what I'm good at. I do nice, sensible haircuts that, you know, I come from a sleepy town down south.
Yeah.
I'm not getting some
someone else.
I'm not having some wacky, like, you know, I'm near Brighton. The haircuts I'd get in Brighton would be very different to the ones I get now. But I'm saying, like, I just take care of my little world and how much of an impact I can have on my clients in the chair and also the people the audience that follow me online.
And who would have known you two would have become such influencers now?
True influencers.
I hate the word influencer.
True influencers.
No, but I mean it in a really positive way. Yeah. When I use it, I don't ever use it as a kind of in the way it's become. But you know, the influence that you have over, like you say, either young people or people who are maybe struggling a bit more to see you bouncing through and kind of go, you know what, it's just part of me, is really inspiring, and it is influencing on them. And you know, hey, who never wanted to go out and buy a vacuum for their barbershop until they saw you? But do you know what I mean? It's a really positive influence, and I'm really excited when I encounter people that want to influence the positivity rather than make other people feel bad. Which I think we're sick
of that shit. We see it all online, don't we? And I don't think it matters what industry. And but again, touch on the social media. I think if we sometimes, I'm not saying that I look at my social media as a business, but I do think we both attached on something that, which a lot of entrepreneurs and businesses do. They didn't realise that no one else was doing it.
Yeah.
And then that's what I think we've done. We stumbled across it. Like, we might have been originally been stuck in the 200 views, and now we're in the thousands, if not the millions. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do get overwhelmed by how many people have seen my face. Like, I've got one video of me and a young lad called Finn, who's also got quite severe Tourette's. And, you know, I think that video is very near to 40 million views on TikTok, right?
Wow.
And it's gone around the world, and I can tell by the comments who've seen it. I don't let the numbers affect me mentally, and it doesn't go to my head. But you can't help but not think about that as well.
Of course.
And it's hard. It's hard to. I'd like to say we're both lovely men, but I sometimes feel like we all do, I'm not that great. I'm not that much of a nice guy, but actually I think when you're just being yourself, it comes across.
Well, let me ask you something. When you say you're not a nice bloke, or when you have those thoughts, are they true?
I think I'm genuinely not nice?
No,
I think I am a nice person, but I can't believe that so many people also see it.
But you know that statement you just said isn't true.
Yeah.
And then if you look at like how that statement makes you react in your life, it's probably not in the best manner. If you think you're not a good bloke, how that makes you act is not ideal.
Yeah.
And if you, which you have the power to, reverse that thought, like what's the opposite of that? I am a nice bloke.
Yeah.
Imagine if you like gave from that position, being like, I am nice. You give from that position.
That's what we're trying to exude from other people.
Yeah.
And I think like you've got... I haven't got therapy till tomorrow. Jesus Christ, I might have to cancel it now. Fuck me. I'm actually not kidding. But that is the whole point. But I think we do. We're hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say it like that, Ardy, because I think that is what we're trying to exude from what we put out there. Cut yourself some slack. Be a nice person. And
have your back. That's the one.
But that's what I want to show as well, that actually I am hard on myself at times. But I know, fundamentally, I know I'm not a bad person. But I think people that view our content, and actually, fuck the content. Generally, even in people in my chair that I don't film with, anything else, that is what I want to exude to everyone else that I meet.
Josh, when you're being hard on yourself, be curious with the thoughts and ask, how, like, is that serving me?
Yeah.
Because it's not...
Flip it on his head sometimes.
Just like, it's not going to help you. Coming from that position, being like, putting yourself down isn't going to give your best self to put out to the world. So, like, get curious with it and maybe create a new possibility from that.
I feel like this is an avenue of conversation as well. Like, how long have you been in the industry?
I am 39 years, I think. I started at 16.
How old are you?
16 years old I started. You know. And I'm, 14 years. Next year,
amazing.
I think it comes out.
What do you think has really severely changed? So I feel like what we're talking about now is quite a lot of like relatively emotional, and especially from a man's point of view, it is probably a little bit different to what maybe when you first started out cutting hair.
Well, I mean, I cut men and women, so I work across both brands. I've owned hairdressing salons,
copies of Marie Claire everywhere.
And
Vogue.
I know. Make sure the bags don't go to the wrong shop.
But
what I've found is we always had that from a woman's point of view. There was always that share that I would go through divorce and I would go through the kind of breakups and
I love share
and the emotional stuff. Mm. And it was brilliant. I always had that. So I think I always took that into my gents, and so it was always existing. From my point of view now, I'm really excited that I see it everywhere. We've got young barbers that work with us and they see it as the norm.
There's never been a societal change though, hasn't there?
Oh God, yeah, and I think it's that acceptability.
Even the past 10 years.
I think in the last, it's all been, I personally think in the last 10 years, it's been like a revolution. But I think it's okay for, okay for men to have feelings for the first, you know, it's really okay, and to display and to share it. And I love that the barbershop is a really kind of, I don't like the word safe, but it's a really kind of good environment to be able to just kind of go, yeah, I'm feeling a bit shit, and just have a
but
chat.
But I think it's changed from the fact of, like, because I remember going to barbershop as a cut child, and sometimes if you went there a bit late in the day, you would get a lot of blokes that are, like, you know, moaning about the missus and all that kind of thing. But now, actually, I think there's a lot more blokes that are actually genuinely opening up. Like,
Definitely.
I won't expose anyone, but I know secrets because they trust you. And I'm sure you feel the same. And I think that's what's beautiful about what you've achieved.
Well, you notice when somebody sits in your chair, there's a moment when you know they trust you because they relax.
You see,
it's like a physical response. Their shoulders drop.
Yeah.
And you can ask them what happened. And it is like, when you really create a space for someone to open up in, that's like some real magic happens there. And that's the magic of being a barber, I think, is creating that space for people to be themselves in.
And I'm unsure if that, I think it's now more acceptable. I think it was always happening. I mean, without going back to how long I've been doing it, how long have you guys been in the industry? What was your journey in?
I started at 21, so it'll be 10 years for me next year.
Cool. And you went through a college or an apprenticeship or...?
So I started college. I was an estate agent before. I had lots of different jobs. I mean, yes, I was an estate agent. No, I'm not a prick. But I ended up deciding I wanted to do something different. And I went to a college. I went to Total Barber in London. And I did their 12-week course, and luckily then I got picked up by a barber shop in St Albans. So I was there for about 4 years. Unfortunately, my Tourette's took a bit of a turn and got a lot worse. Between me and my boss, I won't slag him off because he's a really lovely bloke, but he was worried about how it would impact the business and the clients. But I felt really strongly that I could still push through. But at the time, it wasn't the first time I had Tourette's, but it was the first time that I was in a solid job cutting hair where my Tourette's kind of spiked and got worse. And then, so I've been cutting by that point about 4 or 5 years. And I got to the point where I realised I might get this everywhere I go. And obviously for a lot of people, the long-term plan is to open your own shop, but that kind of got brought up quite quick for me. So I was around the five-year mark and I thought, fuck it, I'm going to have to do it myself. And luckily I've got a really supportive family and I've got a family friend to invest in me, and we're 5 years into my first shop now, just opened the second, as well as a coffee shop as well. So I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome.
But this is what it's about, and we've built up a clientele now, a good couple of thousand people in my first shop, and we're still building the second. But I do believe that it doesn't, everyone that you see that you think is successful, you see the fruits of their labour when they're doing well, but you don't see the start. And this is something that something like Josh LaMonica, who is one of the, I know you were talking to him earlier, he is one of the biggest in the game. But I know, like me, he started in his shed, in his garage. Because his first men's bar shop was actually about half a mile down from the first shop I worked in. So he was a big influence to me.
But Josh, again, is he has a kind of good, stable start point. He's very humble about what he's up to. And he's he is himself. And I think that with the success that's brought with it. How was your entrance in?
Remind us
how you came through.
I just flew in. No, I went back to, similar to Josh, I was an estate agent.
No way.
But I did everything.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
I did little bits of everything, and I was just like entry level, nothing really captured my attention. And then the thing that I kept going back to was hair. There was, for whatever reason, I didn't allow myself to explore that for a long time. And then it got to a point when I was 26, I was like, all right, I'm going to go for it now. I went back to college for a year. I was playing rugby at the time. I was cutting all my, butchering all of my mates' hair.
Tuesday,
they love it. Tuesdays, Thursdays, before and after training. And crowbar my way into a shop whilst working, doing the college course, then there. And then just carried on. The thing that helped me is I was busy before I started working in a shop. I had the hardest part of becoming a barber is getting clientele, having enough people in the chair to literally muller, because you know.
I think that's a big thing for telling young barbers that are starting out, that actually just got to start
somewhere.
Well,
they just want it all really quickly, right? And it is, you got to give it 2 years to get fully booked.
Yeah.
Like a solid 2 years is it's a long time, but after that time, you could put your prices up.
Don't expect too much early on.
Yeah.
I think that's, actually, I feel like we said it on stage earlier, some people almost want to skip the steps a little bit, not get their badges a little bit, not get their stripes, but you've got to be a little bit, and I don't want to kind of get into the toxic culture of the junior or the bitch boy in the shop, but you do have to stand there and sweep, and if some of the experienced barbers want their sandwich, you're going to have to go and fucking get it. You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to building your client base, I think it is all about the fact that you really focus on your craft.
And I think there's nothing more. I mean, building your first column was definitely the point in my career where I kind of went, actually, you know what? I've cracked this now. Oh, and I think when you've got a full column of clients, you've got a following. Does you the world of good, I think. And you can't skip that. The public won't let you skip that step,
100%.
However much you try.
Yeah. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can't. You really, really can't. Mm.
And did you find your Tourette's was a struggle coming into it?
Yeah, I think, especially when I first started out, it was something that I was half trying to cover up. Which I thought you, with my Tourette's, I can't actually suppress it. But I have had phases in my life where it hasn't been as much of a problem as some other times. So, for example, now, for the past 3 years now, I twitch every single day, and I've never been able to hold it in. But I have had periods of time where maybe for 5 or 6 months, it's very minimal. So I can probably get away with it at work. But it's hard. And I actually worked with a guy when my Tourette's wasn't actually that severe. I worked with another guy who had quite severe tics. He didn't actually swear or anything like that, but just sometimes with his comb and his scissor, he would tap it together. And I remember one of his clients that he'd cut once or twice came to me, and he said to me, I'm not going back to that guy, because you see what he's like with his hands. He's quite twitchy and that. And I just said, sorry, do you want to say that again? He went, I won't use him again because I don't trust that shit. And I went, do you realise I have Tourette syndrome? What you're saying is quite, that's your opinion, you're fine, but fuck you. I felt don't talk about him like that when he's, one, he's sitting right there, and two, but I think as long as you can prove yourself and actually make people feel comfortable in your chair, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people behind my back do worry, or they wouldn't maybe feel as confident to have their haircut with me, but I think the proof's in the pudding. My most asked question online is, have I ever fucked anyone's hair up? Or do I twitch in my sleep? Which, to anyone else who's asking, I don't twitch in my sleep, for fuck's sake. But no, I haven't messed anyone up either. But we all know, when you do start out, you do fuck people up.
Yeah.
You do. Your clipper comes, your guard comes off, you slip up, you think, oh shit, you've moved your comb out of the way, we've been doing this since I've come. It does happen. We're all allowed to make mistakes. I love her tits.
The best mistake I had, I absolutely murdered this kid's hair, and the next day he come back to the shop with his mum, and someone in my shop had to cut his hair in front of me, you know, like, just repaired. Really? It was so bad. So the guy at the time, the busy barber in the shop at the time, was one of his clients, and he's like, turned up, the guy's on holiday. I'm like, I'll do it, fresh out of college. I think I was still in college. And I start cutting his hair, and it was one of those where they wear the hair the different way to the crown, where the crown goes. Right. So I've gone in with two, I've gone whoop, and it's gone just exploded. I remember it so well. And after, I was like, right, I'll just cover that in some product. And I remember after thinking, fucking hell, I didn't know what I was doing there. That was a real learning curve. And then the next day he came back in, I was like, oh, I knew exactly why he was here. But it's like, it's those little, because I remember what I did, and I know now, or I learned afterwards, I watched that haircut be done, you know? So I learned how to unfuck what I did up. So that's the beauty of being an early barber, is you can make mistakes.
Yeah. But it is funny, those milestones that stick with you.
Yeah.
And like anything, you usually remember the negatives over the positives. But yeah, we all remember those times where we feel like,
but it's the things that go wrong do make us stronger, you know. And I think, I mean, even now, you know, I still take every haircut personally. I've been cutting hair so long, I'm not shakeable in anything I can cut, do, and I'm comfortable. But I still take every haircut personally. I want it to be liked. I want it to be, and that's a very big part about what makes you good. Is wanting that experience or that haircut.
I think if you didn't care what your customer wanted, then you shouldn't be a barber. Yeah,
that's what it sounds
like. That's the whole point. Like, if I didn't give a flying fuck about what the outcome was for them, then I'm in the wrong job.
Yeah. Well, I think it is that I've still definitely got that passion. I'd stop if I didn't, because I think, and when I speak to everybody, I say the same thing constantly. It's, you know, don't jump anything out, because every experience is worth it. And it's meant to be fun.
But would you say, with your experience, have you seen people where they should have hung up their clippers?
They should have
hung up their clippers. Have you seen it where their passion has gone, or maybe like their dedication, or?
Yeah, that's really a good question. I've worked with, I've had barbers and hairdressers come and work with me, and I've dropped them quickly because they don't have a passion for it. I think if I'm really honest, I've only ever surrounded myself with passionate people. Yeah. I think the passion is what attracts me.
We don't want the transactional people.
Yeah, I've never been very good with that. I love that passion. You know, a lot of my friends are musicians and artists, and, you know, my wife's very, you know, creative, and, you know, my kids are both really passionate about, you know, they're adults now, but they're really passionate about what they do. And the thing I'm most proud of is that my kids have found what they're passionate about.
Yeah.
And I think a life without passion is a meaningless life. And I've managed to kind of wrap myself in that.
Yeah, I love
but, you
that.
Know, I've just seen, getting back to you two, because it's not...
I quite like listening to you, if I'm honest. Like a wealth of knowledge here.
But you guys have
very
both...
Very noble of you.
Thank you very much. Very good. but you guys have both just done the stage.
Yeah.
Smashed it.
Have you done stage before?
And it was just brilliant watching you guys up there, and you both really, really loved it. You both looked like you were so happy up there.
I was quite chuffed, actually. Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I think both of us, Jack said he's a fanboying over me, but we're both fanboying over Mark, let's be fucking honest.
Mate, well, Mark's a legend, isn't he?
Right? He is a legend.
Of course he is. Mark, we're talking about slider cuts, yes.
Yeah.
Of course, Mark, we're talking about you.
Yes.
But yeah.
He really is. I mean, that Jeremy, like, really...
But that's a hard hard-working barber who knows his craft and shares himself honestly. You know,
and
I mean,
he's not worried about what anyone else
doesn't
is thinking
care.
Either.
I really want to know if he gets up at 5:30 and starts cutting.
Yeah.
I know you don't. I'm joking. I know he does. I know he does. I check the times on Instagram. But no, for me, it was really good fun up there. I was a bit nervous, to be honest, and it was lovely that I had the other guys from the Barber Bash Education, like, kind of hosting as well. They're lovely guys. That definitely helped, because I had to keep reminding myself that we've actually got to do a nice haircut.
Yeah, that's the hard bit. You know?
That is the hard bit.
But it's just a, for me, it's a beautiful experience to stand up there. Like, the only reason I'm up there is because I've put myself out there. And to be celebrated for that in an environment where, let's be honest, everyone in this room, I don't know, however many layers you remove, they all want to get better. You know, everyone in this room wants to be a better barber, a better businessman, better whatever they're here for, it's for a positive reason. So, like, to share this space and to contribute up there with not just the legends all day, right? So, there was Slider and you up there when I was up there just now. But all day, you've got people who are the best in the world at what they do.
Yeah.
And I'm here for it. And the more...
But don't you think it's also about the crowd as well? Like, they're, I'm not just saying they're hanging off your every word, but they, like you just said, everyone wants to better themselves. And I do sometimes feel a bit like, I don't know if what you listen to me is going to help, but it's like
making a best man speech. You've got the greatest audience, and this is a really lovely audience.
Yeah.
They want you to be good because they want to gain as much from you as they can. And that's a lovely, I think you've definitely done this whole, I think as we were just saying, when we last met in podcast world, you were on your campaign to spread the love and make it more inclusive.
My post was to make barbering the most expressive and supportive industry in the world.
Love that.
Which is a possibility if we all buy into it.
And how's that gone?
So far, so good. I mean,
that was a stage of love, though, wasn't it? That was amazing.
Why not? You know,
oh, it's great.
It can be.
You are the showman, though, man. But I think someone, but you say the showman, something that has a bit of a weird connotation. But I mean that in the most genuine way that you loved it.
I do, yeah.
But you saw last time we spoke, you were saying that you'd got up on Modern Barber stage, was it, or?
Wait, you cut
your father-in-law.
September. No, I actually cut my dad's
Your
hair.
Your dad's hair,
my
sorry.
My dad's hair in Wales. He's got about four hairs.
And you were saying that actually you were really nervous. You had to really talk yourself into it. And once you were up and at it, you were so chuffed that you did it.
Yeah, I mean...
So you'd put yourself in quite an uncomfortable position to get
when
here.
When you live in, like, the story world, the story you create in your head, then you can get wrapped up in, like, oh, my God, what's everyone going to think? Rather than... The more I experience the now, the more I can actually
enjoy. It felt like a big
bucket
moment when you went, right, I'm going to do this, I'm going to cut my dad's hair. And
that happens over and over and over. I have so many. Yeah, it's African sunset. It's not ginger.
Soulless. He's overcome a lot of hurdles. And that's what I like to say.
Yeah.
And like life's about creating new possibilities and going, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I love that shit.
Love it.
It's getting intense over there.
That's great. I think we're probably going to try and beat the vast loud music that's about to start. Thank you very much for listening. Josh, thank you so much for coming on and sharing.
And I just want to say thank you for what you're doing with the industry as well. Putting a light on the people that make a difference is beautiful, and you are wonderful.
Thank you. 100%. On that wonderful note, I'm going to say goodbye. I've been the Noble Barber. You've been fantastic. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Noble Barber Podcast. We're always looking for interesting people and interesting stories. If you know someone or you are someone with a great story that you want to share, get in touch and come join me on the sofa. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time.